This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, the revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now,
this is 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk with Rich Zeoli.
All right, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, tomorrow, she's been nominated over the weekend. Tomorrow night is the big debate, and we'll be on the air for a special show, which I'll tell you more about. So glad to have you with us, 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Tim Murtaugh from the Trump campaign will be here at 7:50. I'm going to ask him about a number of things, including the New York Times story that came out yesterday about the president's tax returns, and Of course, what's going on with the debate prep for tomorrow night. Now, what can I say? I think Amy Coney Barrett is a terrific pick. I think the president made a great choice. I think that her judicial philosophy, which is Antonin Scalia's judicial philosophy, is outstanding. I think the left going after her, attacking her already, is a ridiculous place to go. You know what's interesting, right, is that even some people like Jeff Toobin on CNN. So Jeff Toobin, it's interesting. He's their legal analyst. He's a dope, in my opinion. But back in 2017, Dianne Feinstein was grilling Amy Coney Barrett. And she said this phrase. She said, "The dogma is strong in you." She talked about how religion always has a certain amount of dogma. And she said, "The dogma is strong in you." And it people were furious after that. Catholic voters and people of faith in all different forms of religion were furious by that. You know, you're a U.S. senator. You're not supposed to bring that stuff up, right? We're supposed, imagine if somebody said that to a person of the Muslim faith, the Islamic faith, and said, "Well, you know, the dogma runs strong in you," you know, they would have been called Islamophobic and everything else. But for whatever reason, when Democrats do this against people like Catholics, they get a pass on it. So Toobin's on CNN over the weekend. I heard this, and I asked Bill to grab the clip off the logger, as it's called, because I was thinking about this in the sense of Democrats are people that want to see her stopped or at least get nominated, at least get confirmed with the minimal damage done to Joe Biden. They don't want Feinstein going anywhere near this, which is interesting to me. Cut 15.
One person who was not thanked during this ceremony was one of the people who was most responsible for Amy Coney Barrett being nominated to the Supreme Court, and that's Senator Dianne Feinstein, who in 2017, when she was the ranking Democrat on the committee, engaged in questioning of now Judge Barrett that was so incompetent, so inept, so apparently religiously discriminatory that Amy Coney Barrett became a hero to religious conservatives. You know, Dianne Feinstein was and is a distinguished public servant who has served for many years on the Supreme Court. She is now 87 years old, and she has repeatedly engaged in behavior in recent months that seem out of step with what Democrats want to do. And you know, she is going to be the leader of the Democratic forces on the Judiciary Committee. And all I can say is good luck with that, Democrats.
Well, she's the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. So explain what you're saying. You want her to recuse herself from all of this, give that responsibility of being the top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee to someone else?
Yeah, she can leave the committee. She could become she could go to the Intelligence Committee. You know, this is not some joke. I mean, these committee assignments are done largely by seniority. Republicans don't do it entirely by seniority. They pick people, particularly in the House, based on who they think will do the best job. Democrats operate on the basis of seniority. So 87-year-old Dianne Feinstein is going to be the leader of the Democratic forces on this nomination. That's not like set in the Constitution. That could be she could move off that committee, but her incredibly inept behavior during during Judge Barrett's confirmation hearing had an enormous consequence that helped the forces that Dianne Feinstein has spent her entire career fighting against. I mean, that's just what happened. Democrats have to decide if they want that to happen again in the Supreme Court confirmation hearing.
And she did have bipartisan support in her confirmation for the 7th U.S. Circuit.
What he's saying there is very, very simple. Democrats are going to go after her religion again, and religious voters, people of faith, are going to get angry. And even Catholic voters in those swing states who may not be real hot on Donald Trump are going to be offended, and this is going to hurt Joe Biden. That's the code for what the unbiased Jeff Toobin, the unbiased legal analyst for CNN, is saying right there. When you think about that, you can understand why when MSNBC started going after her, literally as she was being nominated by the president of the United States, and she gave a great speech in the Rose Garden, immediately Nicole Wallace and MSNBC starts going down the road of The Handmaid's Tale, cut number four.
Something else that MSNBC had up on the screen, if you're watching this and not listening on Sirius in your car, I'll share it with you, that when Judge Barrett was in the under scrutiny for her last appointment, information came out about her time and her relationship with a Christian organization called People of Praise. Now, this is some of what we know about that group and some of what was scrutinized last time she was evaluated. Members of the group People of Praise swear a lifelong oath of loyalty called a covenant to one another and are assigned and are held accountable to a personal advisor called a head for men and a handmaid for women. The group teaches that husbands are the heads of their wives and should take authority over the family. Because of the rush that Donald Trump feels, Neal Katyal, because of the way this process is so condensed, these sorts of things become part of our coverage, even on the day of a ceremony in the Rose Garden.
No, they become part of the coverage because you're a nut and your station's nuts and you're trying to feed a nutty, nutty base. That's why. And it's sad, really. It's sad that that becomes part of the coverage for no other reason than that. So what they're trying to do here is they're trying to tie that Amy Coney Barrett is actually, she's a handmaid. She believes in that society. So The Handmaid's Tale, it's based on a book by Margaret Atwood. It's a post-apocalyptic, post-America dystopian kind of novel. And basically, the handmaids have no rights. The women, they have no rights. They're just there to reproduce. And the men run everything, and they're kind of into they're governed by a religious order, basically. And it essentially now with the show on Hulu, which did very, very well, and that's the America that they're saying Amy Coney Barrett represents, that she would actually like to see that kind of a world come to be, where women don't have rights, where women are second-class citizens, where women really don't work outside the home. They're just inside the home all day serving their husband. That's what they're trying to do when they say The Handmaid's Tale. Okay? Now, this book was written in the 80s. The book was written in the 80s, and of course it was a critique on Reagan and social conservatism back then. Did The Handmaid's Tale happen or women second-class citizens? No. Reagan nominated the first woman to the United States Supreme Court. And since the 80s, I think we can all agree that the progression of women has been more positive, not more negative. The book did not achieve its mark of warning everybody to run away from people like Reagan. So then they tried the TV show when Trump was president, and everything became about The Handmaid's Tale was really a warning about Trump. And you saw there were times when women at various award shows would dress up in red to mimic The Handmaid's Tale. Or then there was you saw Democrat women in Congress wearing all white for the suffragettes. But you also had several of them reference The Handmaid's Tale. And it's not that Amy Coney Barrett wants to be a handmaid per se, although she does. It's really that she wants to have that kind of a world where it's this kooky religious cult. They run everything. The women are second-class citizens, and they're baking casseroles. The problem, though, with their logic is that Amy Coney Barrett is a successful federal judge. If you're an attorney and you strive to become a judge, being a federal judge is the jackpot. And then being appointed to the United States Supreme Court, being nominated by the president of the United States to the Supreme Court, pretty big deal. It means a couple things. Number one, you're ambitious. I'm sorry, but you don't become a federal judge if you're not. There are lots of lawyers out there who are not very ambitious people. And being a lawyer doesn't necessarily make you ambitious. You have to really work at it to become a federal judge because almost like everybody who strives to be a judge one day wants to ultimately become a federal judge. So there's that. Number two, you don't have a mindset of I should be at home with the children, my seven children, if you work full time as a federal judge. A federal judge is not a part time job. It's not a gig. It's not something you do once a month to volunteer. This isn't the PTO. You're a federal judge. You have a lot of work to do. You're a very important person. She's also a law professor at Notre Dame. So the idea that she's really like Trump picked up this submissive, subservient housewife who was cooking all day and barefoot and pregnant and then decided to nominate her to the Supreme Court. She's not even a lawyer, let alone a federal judge, let alone a law professor and a clerk to Antonin Scalia. But this is the president's secret plot to get her in there so that she can bring the Handmaid's Tale into reality. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, right? That Amy Coney Barrett spent her whole career becoming a federal judge just to get to this place that she could get on the high court so she could create America into the image of Gilead, the fictional place in the Republic of Gilead in the show, in the book. I mean, it's a real stretch. You got to really put out the stretch there to make that happen. This is Amy Coney Barrett discussing her husband and their relationship together. Bill, you have that cut from Greg earlier. Take a listen.
Our family includes me, my husband, Jesse, Emma, Vivian, Tess, John Peter, Liam, Juliet, and Benjamin. Vivian and John Peter, as the president said, were born in Haiti, and they came to us 5 years apart when they were very young. And the most revealing fact about Benjamin, our youngest, is that his brothers and sisters unreservedly identify him as their favorite sibling. Our children obviously make our life very full. While I am a judge, I'm better known back home as a room parent, carpool driver, and birthday party planner. When schools went remote last spring, I tried on another hat. Jesse and I became co-principals of the Barrett E-Learning Academy. And yes, the list of enrolled students was a very long one. Our children are my greatest joy, even though they deprive me of any reasonable amount of sleep. I couldn't manage this very full life without the unwavering support of my husband, Jesse. At the start of our marriage, I imagined that we would run our household as partners. As it has turned out, Jesse does far more than his share of the work. To my chagrin, I learned at dinner recently that my children consider him to be the better cook. For 21 years, Jesse has asked me every single morning what he can do for me that day. And though I almost always say nothing, he still finds ways to take things off my plate. And that's not because he has a lot of free time. He has a busy law practice. It's because he is a superb and generous husband, and I am very fortunate.
You know, when she says he starts every day saying, "How can I make your day easier for you?" Not exactly a scene from The Handmaid's Tale. Just FYI, if you've ever seen the show. So here's what happened, right? Margaret Atwood, who wrote The Handmaid's Tale, there was a fake news story in Newsweek that said that the People of Praise, which is the group that Amy Coney Barrett and her husband belonged to, was an inspiration for Atwood's work. But that's not true. Newsweek was forced to append a correction noting that Atwood has never specifically mentioned the group as being the inspiration for her work in The Handmaid's Tale, while also admitting that it, Newsweek, confused the People of Praise for another different charismatic Christian organization which Atwood referenced while discussing her research process for an article. So, you know, there you go. So then Newsweek had to issue this correction, right? And then Atwood appeared to definitively put the controversy to rest in an interview published on Wednesday, speaking to fellow author Kate Schatz as part of a program with the Humanities Institute at UC Santa Cruz. Atwood denied that the people of praise inspired her book. She said it wasn't them. It was a different one, but the same idea, she said. When Politico published its own deep dive into Amy Barrett's religious background on Thursday, Atwood seemingly backtracked, saying she was not sure if people of praise had inspired her work and saying she could not say anything definitive without consulting her records, which are currently locked away in a University of Toronto archive that is closed because of the pandemic. She said, unless I can go back into the clippings file, I hesitate to say anything specific, she said. People of Praise Communications Director Sean Connolly told National Review in a statement that there has never been any evidence whatsoever to suggest the People of Praise played a role in inspiring Margaret Atwood's book. In suggesting a link between People of Praise and Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, the burden of proof clearly lies with the news outlet making such a claim, he said. Bottom line is this, and this is a key point here. She's Catholic. Right. She's Catholic. And there are a lot of Catholics and there are a lot of Catholic voters and they're in swing states. And there are a lot of religious voters out there. But there are Catholic voters in swing states who are going to watch as the left goes after and attacks this mom of seven and tries to label her as some sort of religious kook. And they're going to be very angry when they see that happen. Angry when they see that happen. This is also pathetic, too, how they go after her for her adopted kids. And I get, for me personally, this really bothers me from having two beautiful adopted children. And I really get angry by this, too. And you know, it's one of the things about being an adoptive parent. When you adopt a child who isn't white, that you feel that other sense of judgment from people. And to hear somebody like that idiot Al Sharpton say something about what her children in pointing out this is just so absurd. But cut number five.
Yeah, that was the least diverse audience I've ever seen an announcement like this made in my life. I looked around. I was glad her two kids did come out because I couldn't find too many other people of color in that audience.
Yeah, the connotation, of course, is that her kids are just a prop, you know, using the kids as a prop. That's why she adopted kids who were black, because she just wants a prop to show people she's not racist. You know, having gone through the adoption process twice, I can tell you nobody thinks that way. Nobody. Nobody thinks to themselves, I'm going to sit here and go through the process of adopting a child, which is a very, very heart-wrenching experience, so that my friends can think I'm not racist. I'm going to try to adopt a black child. Nobody thinks that way. This is one of those awful things people say. People that hate adoption say this. People that are angry adoptees say this. And they were saying it all weekend on Twitter, you know. White colonialization coming and taking people from their native land to make them superior and staying taking them from the savages and bringing them to the white people and awful things. All I can tell you is when you go to adopt a child and you have to fill out the form and you have to check which races you're comfortable with and you have to decide between domestic and international. But, you know, in our case, we said we'll take any child because we want that for our family. It's just we want to be parents, right? And we're blessed to have two amazing kids. But at no point was I like, you know what? If I can get a black child, I can show everybody I'm not racist. And the absurdity of that. And then to think that my children are objects when they're my kids. Those are her kids. Those are Amy Coney Barrett's children. It's really pathetic, but what do you expect from these people in MSNBC, right? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Listen, Newsmax has got great, great shows on for you to watch, and you should check out the book Blitz by David Horowitz, because Blitz is a huge bestseller. In fact, it's been on the bestseller list for weeks, 10 weeks now on the New York Times bestseller list. Even President Trump says the book is hot. It's one of the best books of the election. You can watch David Horowitz on Newsmax TV. It's the new conservative network. I watch Newsmax TV a lot, and you should check it out as well. It's on all the major cable systems, or you can get it for free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, and get it for free as well. Just download the app if you want, Newsmax app. So watch David Horowitz on Newsmax TV and make sure you get the book Blitz. It's at bookstores everywhere, or check out the free offer and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX or go to blitz411.com, 800-NEWSMAX.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Very happy to welcome back to the show. Tim Murtaugh is the Director of Communications for President Trump's reelection campaign. And, of course, he's a local guy from this area. So, Tim, welcome back. How you been?
Doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm a Delaware County boy and Temple University class of 1991.
Well, listen, you are one of us then, my man. You are one of us, no doubt. Are you responsible for the cheesesteak the president had on the flight back?
No, I wish I could claim credit for it, and I can't tell you what cheesesteak shop that came from. I don't have that information. I don't think it's classified. I just don't know it.
Not a national security issue or anything?
No, I don't believe so. No, although the best Philadelphia cheesesteak should actually be a national security issue. You're right.
It should be in the National Archives. Like when we find out about Kennedy's assassination, we'll find that out too. You know, like
at the risk of alienating anybody, my favorite steaks were always gym steaks at 4th and South.
Really? That is controversial because that's kind of a tourist trap. So I'm just saying. But
when I was in school, it wasn't really. It hadn't become the tourist trap yet.
Tim Murtaugh, the president again in Pennsylvania over the weekend. I mean, I think I get the point. You really believe Pennsylvania is a critical state to win, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. It was huge for the president in 2016, and it's going to be big again. And we are dead certain that the president is going to win Pennsylvania again. The atmosphere and the energy in PA every time the president goes there is just electric. And, you know, contrast that with the energy that you don't see behind Joe Biden's campaign. Wherever the president goes, whether it's in Pennsylvania or other key states like Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Carolina, the energy and the enthusiastic crowds that we see are just tremendous. And it's exactly what the media missed in 2016. They didn't see the movement coming. And it's happening again. And contrast it with Joe Biden. I mean, that guy, he could hold a campaign event in a broom closet. And he's not generating any excitement. The president's campaign, we have now 2.3 million volunteers who are out knocking on doors and making phone calls. We've made direct contact with 110 million voters. And that's something that Biden's campaign just is not doing because they're not capable of it, because people on the ground in states are not excited about him. And Pennsylvania, we've made such incredible gains in voter registration. There are 166,000 more Republicans than Democrats as compared to 2016. You know, Democrats still have a registration edge, but the gap has narrowed by 166,000 since Election Day 2016. So the president won it. It was a close victory last time. We have high, high confidence that he's going to win it again by a larger margin than the last time.
So how's the response been to the president's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett? And also, what's the strategy going into the debate tomorrow night?
Well, Amy Coney Barrett, the response to her has been just fantastic. She is impeccably qualified. Her credentials are unassailable. She's on the federal court now. And remember, she was valedictorian of Notre Dame Law School, and she has three times been honored as the faculty member of the year at Notre Dame Law School. And every single member, full-time member of the faculty at Notre Dame, signed a letter when she was nominated to the Seventh Circuit Court in 2016. And she was approved in a bipartisan fashion last time. She's eminently qualified. And we're afraid that Democrats are going to not be able to resist their darker impulses and attack her for being Catholic. We've already seen signs of it. The Democrats in some circles want to treat being Catholic as equated to being a member of some kind of weird cult. And I thought that we were sort of beyond that as Americans, that you have a religious test for people in federal government service. You know, I thought maybe that was put to bed when John Kennedy was elected president. But in some circles, no. And the Democrats really should resist the urge to treat Catholicism as something that's outside of the mainstream. And the question is, where's Joe Biden in all of this? He's a devout Catholic himself. Why doesn't he stand up and say, you know, you shouldn't attack somebody simply for being Catholic? This is the United States of America. And so naturally, I think that'll be a debate topic. Our goal in the debate is to hold Joe Biden accountable for the radical agenda that he's carrying for the extreme left. And we expect to see a Joe Biden who is ready on debate night. Here's a guy who's been a Washington politician for 47 years. He knows his way around the debate stage. He had 11 debates during the Democrat primaries, and he beat 24 opponents. He knows what he's doing. He's been through this kind of thing many, many times before. You know, some in Washington, you know, has the reputation of being a master debater, and that's what we're ready for.
Tim Murtaugh is with me. He is the director of communications for the president's reelection campaign. Let me ask you about the New York Times story, Tim, because obviously that was a big story that dropped yesterday. I know the president addressed it at his press conference yesterday, called it fake news. The Times alleging that he hasn't paid federal income taxes over the years, that he's all this debt. What's the response to that?
You know, it's a big nothing burger. I think people have to take a little trip through memory lane here. In 2016, right before the first debate, the New York Times dropped almost the same exact story about the president's taxes. This was litigated in 2016. Americans know that the president has been a successful guy. I suspect that he knows the tax code better than you and I do, Rich. And in fact, the president has paid tens of millions of dollars in taxes. And so the story is completely bogus. And, you know, it's telling that when, you know, the New York Times contacts the Trump Organization and says, hey, we're running the story. And the Trump Org says, OK, can we see the documents that you're talking about? And the New York Times says, no, we're not going to show them to you. So they're asking for comment on documents that they're not even going to let the subject of the story look at, which is crazy. And it's the same. At what point does the New York Times become an in-kind contribution to Joe Biden, really? Because they ran the same exact story 4 years ago, and Americans saw it and knew it and elected President Trump president anyway. It's bogus. Of course he's paid taxes. There's a couple of things that story maybe inadvertently uncovered. First, nowhere in it, as sensational as they tried to make it, nowhere in it does it accuse the president of doing anything wrong. Nowhere. It's not in there. Secondly, it confirms what the president has said all along, which is that he hasn't released his taxes fully because he remains under audit. The New York Times confirms that the audit is still ongoing. It's been 10 years and it's still ongoing. So that is in there, and that's a fact that the president hasn't released his taxes because he remains under audit by the IRS. And finally, I know they would be dying to report this if they could ever find anything about it, but it's not there. You notice that there's nothing in there about the Russians or anybody else in foreign nationals that the president is financially intertwined with. And you know that would be the screaming headline if they could have found it. And it's not there. There's a huge nothing burger here in this story. They did it 4 years ago, and it had no impact on people's opinions of the president. And it's another game they're playing right before the debate to drop this story, which frankly says nothing. It doesn't. You know they'd be dying to accuse the president of doing something wrong if they could do it, and they can't. They can't. There's nothing in there that even accuses the president of wrongdoing.
So it's
a pre-debate tactic. It's all it is.
And Tim, it is a pre-debate tactic because the last thing they want to do tomorrow night is to discuss Hunter Biden, right? And what came out with the Senate report.
So where's the interest? Here, when his father was the vice president of the United States, Hunter Biden got a wire transfer of $3.5 million from the billionaire wife of the former mayor of Moscow. These are people who are connected to Vladimir Putin. $3.5 million in cash wired to the son of the sitting vice president of the United States. And the New York Times hasn't written one word about that. Where is the curiosity? Why the Russians were sent $1 million, and why were the Chinese giving Joe Biden's son and Joe Biden's brother and sister-in-law $100,000 shopping spree on the Chinese credit? Why? What were they hoping to achieve when Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States? The lack of curiosity by the national news media about why in the world these foreign entities would be showering money on the son of the vice president. They just don't care. And they'd rather talk about old news about the president's taxes, which everyone already knew 4 years ago, and not even be able to come up with even an accusation of doing something wrong. It's an astounding double standard. They look the other way when it's Joe Biden and when it's a blah, bland story about a billionaire businessman and his very complicated taxes. They think it's like the biggest, it's like Watergate all over again for them. It's just an in-kind contribution to the Democrats, like it always is. It's the New York Times, and that's exactly what people should remember. They are in the tank for Joe Biden, and they're not even trying to hide it. It's a pre-debate dirty trick, and there's nothing there.
Well, speaking of debates, I'm glad you mentioned earlier that the president's not going to lower expectations. Joe Biden is, in fact, a master debater, and that is key that you're pointing that out, because I think people have to remember that. He has a long career of doing that. So, you know.
Yeah, he had the reputation in the Senate as being the guy who wouldn't shut up. So I think he knows what he's doing on the debate stage.
Tim Murtaugh, Director of Communications for the President's Reelection Campaign. Always fun having you. You are a Delco guy, and you have not lost that trait. We appreciate that. We will talk.
Thank you, Rich.
We'll talk again,
Tim. I'll take that as a compliment. Anytime.
Take care.
See you.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Zioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studios.
Now, listen, when you think about selling your home, I want you to think about Easy Homes PA, which can make the process easy and hassle-free. Easy Homes PA will buy your home as is. No realtor fees, no escrow fees, no repairs. Sell as is. No open houses. You don't want strangers walking through your house, right? Especially now. They'll buy your home any size, any condition. Don't spend money making repairs, especially if you're going to sell it, right? Don't do that. They'll buy your house any price. And Easy Homes PA will make the timing work on your timeline. Closing days or months, you're going to get a very fair offer and avoid all the hassles of a traditional sale. So if you are ready to sell your home, you want to sell it fast, this is a no-brainer. 215-608-6005. 215-608-6005 or easyhomespa.com. Easyhomespa.com. Home evaluations can be done over the phone, over email, you name it. EasyHomesPA.com will practice safe distancing with the transaction, and you will feel very comfortable and safe. And your home's going to sell. Look, there's lots of reasons to sell. Maybe you want out of Philadelphia once and for all. You want out of New York City once and for all. Whatever it is, EasyHomesPA.com will make this happen for you. The owner, Jim's a great guy, by the way. His story is amazing. He's a real success story after having some real tough years. Big Trump guy, too, by the way. So if you hate Trump, you may not want to call him. I don't know. But maybe you should anyway, because he's going to sell your home. Either way, he doesn't discriminate. But you're going to like talking to him. He's a really cool guy. 215-608-6005. EasyHomesPA.com. EasyHomesPA.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Master debater. Dawn, my impulse, I can't help it. Like a child, I swear.
Yes.
Did you see, I don't know if you saw this or not, a fourth grader was suspended after his teacher saw a BB gun in his virtual class. Did you hear about this?
I saw that. Unbelievable. Do fourth graders have constitutional rights? I'm just wondering.
You know, I mean, and by the way, this was in Louisiana, too, of all places. In Louisiana.
First of all, how do they even know that what kind of gun it is or whatever? But it's a BB gun. It's in his bedroom. I mean, my boys have a BB gun in their bedroom, along with, you know, Nerf guns and everything else. What, I mean, I can't believe that he was suspended.
So what they did was this kid, now 6-day suspension, 9-year-old boy.
Ridiculous.
He handled a BB gun in his bedroom during an online class session. This is the latest incident, by the way, involving students in virtual classrooms and airsoft or BB guns in private homes. Fourth grader at Woodmere Elementary in Harvey was taking a virtual class in his bedroom when his younger brother came into the room and tripped over a BB gun. Because I know people are wondering, like, why was he holding it, right? His brother trips over it. The 9-year-old leaned away from his English test, grabbed the unloaded weapon, put it next to his chair, away from his brother, but in view of the computer camera that showed the scene to his teacher and classmates. By the end of the day, he was facing suspension from school and possible expulsion. So he does the right thing. He picks up the BB gun to make sure that his younger brother won't get it, puts it on the desk, doesn't aim it at anybody, doesn't say, I got this gun, I'm going to pop a cap in you. He doesn't do anything like that, right? All he does is just put it away from his younger brother. They suspend the kid. Can you believe that?
No. I mean, I can believe it, but I just think somebody has to file a lawsuit. I'm sorry, but that's the only way that they're going to get people's attention. File a lawsuit and say his rights were violated. He's in his bedroom. What did he do wrong? There's some
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. He did nothing wrong, and it's not fair to this little kid. He's 9 years old. He did nothing wrong. And by the way, too, you know, as we're dealing with this, the COVID, when we're doing all these online learning things? You know, what about privacy rights for people that are having to do online learning? Now, are we supposed to rearrange our homes? Are we supposed to make it politically correct so that we don't show, you know, Trump banners in the background and BB guns? And like, I mean, what other steps do we have to do in the age of COVID? How about this? How about if you're doing an online class, it's none of your freaking business what's in the background because you're forcing the kids to go virtual. He doesn't even want to go virtual, probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And so. There's no stated rule about it. But what are they going to do next? Did he make his bed? Are they looking around for something? You know?
No, you know what it'll be? It'll be a kid left the dirty underwear on the bed and he'll be a sex offender.
Oh, gee.
That's what'll happen next.
Yeah.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
Pathetic. Pathetic. I want to go to Ron in Montgomeryville. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
Good, Ron. How are you?
So, okay, thanks. I don't understand Joe Biden being a master debater other than the fact that he's debated many times.
Yeah.
Much like the Paul Ryan debate, which sticks in my craw, every time the moderator will be asking President Trump a question and President Trump starts to answer that question, Joe Biden historically will start to make noises. Now, he under his breath, but yet audible.
Right.
And I don't know if you've recognized this in the past or not. I have a major, major issue with that. I don't think he'll get away with that with Chris Wallace. He would with any other moderator.
Right.
He'll be dancing around, shaking his head, and you know, he can do all that dancing around and shaking his head. But when he starts to be audible, I'll probably smash my TV. That's how pissed off I'll get.
So you don't think he is a master debater?
I do not think he is.
Fair enough. Yeah. Ron, that was Tim Murtaugh's point. But all right. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. We will see tomorrow night. I think Chris Wallace will certainly hold him accountable. No doubt about it. 855-839-1210. Anyway.
Yes. What?
Nothing. Nothing. I just, you know, when you have a corporate show work on the show, you find yourself being incredibly careful in situations like this. I mean, you know.
I didn't say anything. What did I say?
Nothing. You didn't say anything. I did. You know, is Joe Biden a master debater? Should we have a poll on that? Is, you know, it's a question.
Master debater.
So I don't know. I mean, is he a master debater or not? You know,
master debater.
What makes somebody a master debater? I mean, I've done debate prep. Is it? Is it to achieve the level of being a master debater? How do you get there? Is the question. I don't know. It's.
$1 million question.
It's $1 million question. I'm asked all the time. You know, when people first bring me in for things, they go, "Will you make me a master debater?" And I go, "I look, I can coach you, but you have to want it. You know what I mean? You gotta want it." And so that's tough. So
I have the mind of a 13-year-old.
I know, me too. I just pictured.
Why do you think I said the Murtaugh at the end? I go, "You're so Delco, man. Like you can take the guy out of Delco, but you can't take the Delco out of the guy." You know what I mean? I'm gonna kick it over to you to do news now, Dawn. That's if you don't mind. I'm gonna have you do news. That'd be great.
Well, good morning. This is the Yoli Show News.
I'm just so thankful that in 2015 I didn't say that to Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
I will promise you. Your father-in-law is going to be a master debater when I'm done with him. I'm just so grateful that that's not what I said.
And do you bring like a little basket of supplies?
Paper towel. You know, I just do news. I shouldn't have. I kicked it to you and then I took it back and I shouldn't have done that. So I should have.
Because I have Delco ties, okay? I was married there, you know? Can't help myself. Sorry.
I know. It's what are you going to do? Blame Delco. Don't blame me.
Delco.
Blame Delco.
Cause Delco.
It's Delco. It's Delco.
The Yoli Show News is sponsored by Wawa, where it's 70 degrees right now. Cloudy. These clouds are supposed to be broken up by some sunshine. We'll have the forecast in just a second. But so organizers of these three homeless encampments that we've been talking about since June in Philadelphia, they are claiming victory now during these ongoing negotiations with the city and Mayor Jim Kenney. So they say the city has now offered to transfer 50 vacant homes to a land trust. And that trust would then designate the properties as permanent affordable housing for people who make less than $25,000 a year. So the campers, as you know, they put up these 150 tents in June, refused to leave. There were evictions. The residents are, you know, this has gone viral, just saying, good, please, just leave. It's a mess. We got to clean it up.
So they won, basically. The city tried to get them out, and they doubled down, and now they're getting free housing out of it.
Yeah, 50 vacant
homes. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Free house. How about it?
How about it? Is it too late to join, or can you join the homeless encampment now? Maybe I'll go there after the show, get a free house out of it. You just have to stop by? Is that what it is like?
Yeah, just stop by.
And you get a free house. You get a free house. And you get a free house.
You don't even have to bring a free tent. You just stop
amazing.
By there.
Amazing.
Okay, so former 76er and TV sports analyst Charles Barkley, this has gone viral and they're still talking about it. So he's facing all this criticism for his comments about Breonna Taylor in that case. So he said during a live pregame show that her death should not be compared to other recent high-profile cases. He says, you know, you have to take into account that her boyfriend did shoot at the cops. He shot a cop. So, like I say,
we
really...
have the audio, actually,
you
if you want to hear. So... Yeah, this is Charles Barkley on the... he got a lot of grief over this. So, what cut is that now? Where is it? It's cut... what is it, Bill?
Charles Barkley.
I think it's cut 12.
Cut 12. Yes, cut 12.
No. Same situation with George Floyd and our... You know, we do have to take into account that her boyfriend did shoot at the cops and shot a cop. So, like I say, even though I'm really sorry she lost her life, I don't think that we can just say we can put this in the same situation with George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I know. He's right. It's a totally different situation. He's exactly right about that. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Shaq agreed with him. So now Shaq is being shamed all over
social
media.
Are they canceling Shaq too now?
It says the cancel culture.
They're canceling Charles Barkley and they're canceling Shaq.
Shaq. So.
By the way, Charles Barkley also said, if you defund the police, who are you going to call, Ghostbusters? I thought that was such a great line. Do you have that from Friday, actually, Bill?
1 second, I'll pull it up.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Please.
That. 1 second,
like
I'll pull
now,
it up.
Like now, or?
No, he's pulling it up. He's got to go to the Friday archive. It's a totally different archive. Yeah,
I
go
guess.
Ahead.
Yeah, here it is.
To really be careful when we, you know, I hear these fools on TV talking about defund the police and things like that. We need police reform and prison reform and things like that. Because you know who ain't going to defund the cops? White neighborhoods and rich neighborhoods. So that notion they keep saying that, I'm like, wait a minute. We just going to leave. Who are black people supposed to call? Ghostbusters? When we have crime in our neighborhoods, we need police reform. But like I say, white people, especially rich white people, they're always going to have cops. So we need to stop that defund or abolish the cops crap.
I thought that was great. So he's canceled too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though he just says it like it is, right? He doesn't even care.
Well, it was good knowing you, Sir Charles, and good knowing you, Shaq. Take care.
I do have some Zioli Show follow because we had told you that the Gaming Commission in Pennsylvania was going to vote. So Pennsylvania hunters are now allowed after the vote to use night vision and infrared thermal scopes.
Good.
So that decision and vote by the PA game commissioners who say the devices can be used while hunting fur bearers.
Good. The Furbies.
Coyotes.
Those freaks who do those conferences out in California?
Not the furries.
Oh, not furries.
This is like coyotes, fox, raccoon.
Possum. I'll tell you, I'll be happy when they let them use automatic weapons to hunt those things. That's what I'll be happy.
Well, maybe to do the deer that have the... That's the other thing. They did talk about concerns about these wildlife diseases like zombie deer, brain-eating disease, and the big concern is this rabbit hemorrhage disease.
What is it?
It's like a rabbit hemorrhaging disease. So you do have
Sounds
to be...
Sounds so 2020, doesn't it?
I know,
it?
Right? So you do have to be careful even with, like, if there's roadkill, they say don't touch it, and hunters are being warned because, I don't know, sounds kind of scary.
But roadkill's delicious in a pandemic when you can't get groceries.
That's nasty. Speaking of animals and okay, so a giant African bomb sniffing rat is going viral, recognized for detecting landmines in Cambodia, saving lives to sniff out explosives that were safely removed from 1.5 million square feet of land. His name is Magawa, and he was awarded the gold medal overseas. So he's a giant African bomb sniffing rat.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of a cool story.
I mean, I'm telling you, under de Blasio, the rats in New York are way bigger. So they should put those things to good use.
Train them.
Right? You know? Train them.
Sniff out
them
COVID.
Work. Absolutely.
Something.
Do something.
Let's get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Warm, humid today. A high of 80 degrees. The next couple of days, then, we're going to have showers. So 60% chance of showers tomorrow, 77 degrees. Wednesday, cloudy, cooler, 70 degrees. Wednesday, yes, with showers. But then Thursday, the sun comes out for a nice sunny stretch. Thursday, breezy, less humid, 71. Friday, mostly sunny, 67 is the high. And then the weekend, very sunny, but only mid-60s. So your favorite Wawa Sizzly varieties are two for $4, including the Pancake Sausage Sizzly. Now back for a limited time, Wawa's Sizzlies, perfect for your breakfast on the go. Grab two Wawa Sizzlies today for only $4. Gotta have a Wawa. I'm Dawn, the Ellie Show News Live, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Hey, listen, you know, Cherry Hill Vavo, wonderful people over there. And they take such great care of you. They really do. They want to make you so happy. They spoil you. And Vavos spoil you, too. And that's a big part of the problem is that when you drive a car that's not a Vavo, you start wondering where all the luxurious features are in the car that you're in. That's the only downside to driving a Vavo. And the experience at Cherry Hill Vavo, the only downside is you'll get used to being spoiled. And you're not going to get that anywhere else. And so just be prepared for that. When you get spoiled, you always want to be treated that way because you should. You really should. Well, now is a perfect time to go to Cherry Hill Vavo. They have 0% financing on all of their 2020 and 2021 models. Judith and everyone at Cherry Hill Vavo believe in spoiling their customers and delivering a luxury experience every time. When you purchase a Vavo from Cherry Hill Vavo, you're going to enjoy a brand new loaner while your vehicle is being serviced. And valet service option is available as well. Just call them for details. Vavos are great cars. I love mine, and you're going to love yours. And what makes Cherry Hill Vavo different is the people. They get to know you. They pair you with the perfect Vavo and provide an excellent experience. They open at 8:30, just a few minutes from now, and they're open at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. So head there today. I say it all the time, Cherry Hill Vavo, they know how to treat you. You'll feel great. All the details are online at CherryHillVavoCars.com. CherryHillVavoCars.com. Go see them minutes over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, so let's understand Amy Coney Barrett, why she makes me so incredibly excited for her work as a Supreme Court justice. It all comes down to this. Ready? Cut number one.
I was lucky enough to clerk for Justice Scalia, and given his incalculable influence on my life, I am very moved to have members of the Scalia family here today, including his dear wife, Maureen. I clerked for Justice Scalia more than 20 years ago, but the lessons I learned still resonate. His judicial philosophy is mine too. A judge must apply the law as written. Judges are not policymakers, and they must be resolute in setting aside any policy views they might hold.
That's it. That's all I want. That's all I want from a judge. That's it. That's what I want right there. Makes me happy. Makes me very, very happy. ACB, she's known in our circles now. ACB also discussed the important friendship between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Antonin Scalia. Cut number two.
Should I be confirmed, I will be mindful of who came before me. The flag of the United States is still flying at half staff in memory of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to mark the end of a great American life. Justice Ginsburg began her career at a time when women were not welcome in the legal profession. But she not only broke glass ceilings, she smashed them. For that, she has won the admiration of women across the country and indeed all over the world. She was a woman of enormous talent and consequence, and her life of public service serves as an example to us all. Particularly poignant to me was her long and deep friendship with Justice Antonin Scalia, my own mentor. Justices Scalia and Ginsburg disagreed fiercely in print without rancor in person. their ability to maintain a warm and rich friendship, despite their differences, even inspired an opera. These two great Americans demonstrated that arguments, even about matters of great consequence, need not destroy affection. In both my personal and professional relationships, I strive to meet that standard.
You know what? She's so right about that, too. And I think deep down we'd all love to be able to talk politics more with our friends and family members. And in this day and age, because of Trump, you can't, because they get so angry and vicious and it becomes just a, you know, an awful. I told you I don't talk politics outside this program for that reason. But what she talks about there, that friendship between RGB and RBG and Antonin Scalia, I mean, that friendship there is impressive, right? And she recognizes that. Will she be rewarded for that, by the way? Will she be rewarded for that? No, of course not. ABC immediately touts Democrats labeling Barrett nomination as an illegitimate sham. They tout it. They go with it. Seconds after the ceremony ended, just seconds after it ended. Cut number six.
President Trump saying that this confirmation process could be easier than the Senate think. It is already shaping up to be a fierce battle, an unprecedented battle, just over 5 weeks before Election Day. No Supreme Court justice has ever been confirmed this close to an election in an election year. And, of course, 4 years ago, Republicans refused to even give a hearing to President Obama.
Now, let's stop it right there for a second. So literally the ceremony ends. The unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos doesn't say really important speech, very personal speech, reflecting on her career, reflecting on her friendship with Scalia, praise for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Nope, nothing. Other than that, mention her kids, her family. Goes right, literally, the clapping is still going on. And the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos jumps in to give his hot take on how Democrats are going to do what they can to try to stop her. And then by doing so, also offer them advice on how they can stop her. Go ahead.
Even give a hearing to President Obama's choice for the Supreme Court vacancy of Justice Scalia when he died in February of 2016. I want to bring in Mary Bruce, our senior congressional correspondent. A chorus of praise already from Senate Republicans. Criticism from Democrats, including Joe Biden, who's said that Judge Barrett could be a threat to the Affordable Care Act, also says it shouldn't even be voted on until after the election. And several Democratic senators saying this is an illegitimate sham process.
George, it is clear already from the initial statements rolling in why this is going to be such a bitter partisan fight.
That's the unbiased journalist there, George Stephanopoulos. Amazing. By the way, on the rat story, I want to thank Wendy for tweeting out that apparently NBC10, our friends over there, they did a story with Rosemary Connors that because of COVID, there's a rise in the rat problem in Philadelphia and the suburbs. So the story is rats on the rise in Philly area amid coronavirus pandemic. Rats on the rise in Philadelphia and the suburbs. Our Rosemary Connors explains how COVID-19 is contributing to the uptick in rodents. Wendy rightfully says, you know, because COVID. Because COVID, there's more rats.
But we should train the rats. Maybe we should just start training.
Well, by the way, how are there more rats because of COVID? Were they locked down too in quarantine and started reproducing? how are there more rats? It doesn't follow. I'm trying to understand. How does that follow?
We're not putting out enough traps anymore, I guess.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
The rats are like, listen, we got to quarantine, so let's reproduce, all right? Let's do this. We can do this. We didn't have a lockdown order for rats, did we? Is there like a rat, like a secret rats in NIM where they actually did have a lockdown order we didn't know about? And that's why they reproduce so much? How is this possibly due to COVID?
And more aggressive raccoons.
Oh my god!
Now I'm looking at it's ACCT Philly. They call them Philadelphia trash pandas. I don't know why they call them pandas.
I just think, you know what I think it is, guys? I think it's this, right? At some point now, people just, everything is COVID. So yeah. They just go, yeah, because COVID. You know.
You noticing more rats? Yeah,
because
COVID.
Because COVID. It's something I brought up weeks ago as a joke that everything is because COVID. But literally now even news reports are like, well, because COVID, we're seeing more waves in the ocean. It's like, wait, what? Stop.
The moon isn't.
What?
The moon's not responsible for tides anymore. It's the.
Yeah, because COVID, there's two full moons this month. Wait, there's nothing to do with COVID. Not, stop it. Not everything is COVID.
Okay, so the CDC is warning about this because they say there's less, you know, general trash around. Like, people aren't out and about as much throwing away trash, like in the trash cans all over the city or that sort of thing. So the rodents are unusually aggressive.
Because they're not getting enough to eat?
Yeah.
Philadelphia, they didn't pick up the trash for like seven months because COVID. The rats had plenty. It was like a buffet. It was like going to Sizzler for them every day.
Wouldn't people are eating at home more. So wouldn't the trash be more for people's houses? Like, I understand they're not,
yes. You know,
they're not going to be in restaurants, but like everybody's eating at home. So you would think like my trash has been overflowing because of all the, you know.
I think the rats would call a meeting and go, listen, because COVID, we got to get out of the city and this homeless encampment anyway. Who the hell wants to go up there? Yeah. Even us rats. Let's go to the burbs because they got all this food there. They're all getting takeout.
We'll see.
Let's go get the Gruber. That's what I call Grubhub, Gruber.
That explains the more traffic Gruber. On 76.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the rats are smart. They're going to go to the burbs. So there you go. I don't know. Everything has to be freaking COVID now. Everything. It's like the story here. How the COVID-19 pandemic is upending the alcoholic beverage industry. I didn't have to read this article. You know what I know just from reading? Here's the answer. Ready? We're all drinking more. That's why.
Yes.
That's how it's upending the alcohol beverage industry. We're all drinking more because COVID.
Because COVID.
And also, by the way, they're saying now demand for budget and mid-price premium spirits would increase. Demand for high-end, super premium, and ultra premium spirits would diminish, and that's the problem. Though, of course, is that for a lot of places, for a lot of us, we go, well, I'm going to go to the liquor store, and if I'm here, I might as well get something good, because COVID. But also get something bad too, just in case I really need to be locked down for a long time. So you know, you do that too, basically. Tequila, by the way, how much you want to think tequila sales are up because COVID? Give me a guess, percentage-wise, Bill. Go ahead.
I'll say 12%.
12%. Dawn, you want to make a guess?
85%.
Close, 75%. By the way, Dawn, in a bit like this with radio, you want to try to shoot low.
Oh, sorry.
Because what I was going for was a high number.
Oh.
So like if you would come back and said 200. Like 7%. Oh, no, that's high. 200% is high, Dawn.
Oh, okay.
Who's bad at math on the show, me or you?
But I want to win. I never win.
I know, you're way too competitive for me. I shouldn't have called on you. Like, Greg knows the number, but Greg's really good at this game. So, Greg, what do you think the spike in tequila was?
3%.
It's 75%.
So I won. I said 85.
Yes, dumb, but it wasn't. Anyway, wine sales. Bill, what do you think wine sales were up by?
I'll go 62.
Bill, you just did what Dawn did.
The 3%.
Answer is 66%.
I thought you would. I figured I would still 3%.
They got to go with a low number. This is how the radio bit works. I got to teach a class on this.
9%.
What is this?
9%.
You already said 62%,
well,
Bill.
I'm changing it.
You're changing. Canned cocktails. How much do you think they were up for the week, Dawn?
85%.
No, would you stop with the high numbers?
I want to win at all costs.
No, this is a bit.
You should
bit.
Just answer 100 for everything. Why not? Canned cocktails were up 93%. Canned wines, 95%. Overall, sales of alcoholic beverages soared by 58%.
What are canned cocktails?
They're great. It's a new thing now where you literally can get like an old fashioned in a can. It didn't taste good. But then again, if you're in lockdown,
everything's
better, right? So it goes like this, right? If you got a plan for the end of the world, how are you going to get an old fashioned? You bring bourbon with you and sugar and cherries and you got to muddle all that. You got to bring a muddler on the road. Or
I forgot my muddler.
I forgot my muddler. It's like, damn it, we all evacuated and I have my muddler. I left it home. So, or just bring a canned old fashioned cocktail. You understand?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody understand?
It doesn't expire. It's, you know.
No, that sounds gross.
Last forever.
You know what? I am going to beat Dawn with this one. Ready? She can't. There's no way she can do this. An alcohol e-commerce platform operating in over 100 markets across the United States and Canada, given the COVID, saw what percentage rise in sales, Dawn?
150%.
Gotcha, 300%. Wow. They are nicknamed the Amazon of liquor, and I will be getting the Prime membership right after the show today. Wink, a direct-to-consumer wine club, saw a 578% increase in new member signups during the week. Has anyone checked on Prohibition Patty? Has her head just exploded in all this or what? Do we know?
From her, yeah.
I mean, this is we traded truckload-sized orders of multiple pallets of wine and liquor for weddings and parties for individual orders of low and mid-price internet orders. So basically, even though liquor people are not selling for weddings and things like that, they're still doing well with the home sales, which is good stuff for them. So, but I do know that like our buddies over at Tomasello and Valenzano, they're worried about those damn spotted lantern flies. So you better drink up, kids, drink up. Bottom line is this, because COVID, we all need a liver transplant.
Yes.
That's what I know. 100% of us need a new liver because COVID. Except for Prohibition Patty. She's still no fun. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Now, I want to remind you that when it comes to your home, if you are spending more time in your home, and with winter coming, don't you want the home to be more comfortable? And don't you also want to make sure that you're saving money? Yes, you do. That's why I want to tell you about USA Insulation. USA Premium Foam completely changes how your home feels. Watching games, spending family time, working at home. It's all better because you're comfortable. You're saving money. It pays for itself over time. We did this with our home years ago, and it's just been the best thing ever for us. 267-551-1900. 267-551-1900. Save up to $1,000 on a whole home insulation ahead of the busy winter season. And like I said, it pays for itself. And when it pays for itself over time, you realize that savings go right in your pocket. And it's a great thing. The home's more comfortable. USAinsulation.net. USAinsulation.net. Do what I did. 267-551-1900.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.